Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard, Unfiltered with Jim Krenz, Sheila Hyland, episode 21. We can all breathe easier now that the Winter Olympics in Beijing, China are done. I know a lot of people didn't watch much, if any, of the Olympics. Let's go back to even the Super Bowl. Sheila, did you watch that?
Yes, until I fell asleep in about the third quarter.
I watched it at a bar, so the sound was down there. So I watched the game, but during the commercials, I kind of was hanging out, you know, talking to people and stuff. So I missed a lot of the commercials. The one that did catch everybody's attention in the bar was the one where the barcode came up and looked like the old Pong game by the kids.
That's exactly what it looked like,
just bought back. So that got a lot of attention, and then people grabbed their phones, threw it up there, and all of a sudden it was some sort of cryptocurrency commercial. So it's fascinating. It did get everyone's attention in the entire bar because everyone's looking at their phones. I thought, what is that? Because what a brilliant, brilliant marketing strategy. Because when it came on, we're like, what is it? Like, it looked like they said the ping pong game when we were kids. And we're like, what is that? Did something happen to the TV or the cable?
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was a barcode. So it's kind of fascinating. Right? So I think that might have been the best commercial then just because of that.
Yeah, it's a new way that, what do they call it? The Q code.
Yeah. Yeah. And I fell for it. I got my phone out, and then afterward I thought, that might have been a big mistake.
Never know.
I might have a bug on my phone now. Who knows?
Interesting. Well, that's the thing now, when, you know, because of the pandemic, when we go to restaurants now, instead of menus, we got to do the barcode. That's it.
Well, our guest today is an amazing young man, Jordan Rooney from Newcastle, Pennsylvania. He is the CEO and creative director at Jaster and Built Different Creative. And he is the first personal brand coach in the NCAA since the name, image, and likeness opportunities took full force this year. And who knows where it's going to go? Probably Jordan Rooney. He has been all over the world speaking about branding and talking about social media, including a TED Talk he did at the end of last year in Prague.
Today I'm going to talk to you about the internet, social media, which for the most part, most people say social media is a terrible place. Let's look at the critiques. They say it's fake. It's addicting. It's bad for marriage. Kids are on their phones too much. There's gurus who are always trying to sell you healthy teas or fit shakes. There's the whole fake news issue. Ever look at the comment section of a political post? And there's all these stories about influencers being the absolute worst. One of my favorites is when they were caught taking a photo shoot on a fake private jet. See, everyone's always telling me how bad social media is. They tell me it's ruining our society. Now, do I think that this is true? I think there are some elements to it where, yes, there are some negatives to our society because of social media, but over 80% of our population uses it. You're not getting rid of Instagram, you're not getting rid of Twitter, and I'm not getting rid of TikTok because I can't get enough of it. So is social media ruining our society? I would say any major change or new technology causes people to overreact like this. It's not the first and it won't be the last. Let's look at some other instances in our history where people have kind of overreacted. There was underground travel, the subway, was thought to upset evil spirits. Recording music, they said it would kill our musical ability. This one's my favorite. They said the problem with the television is people need to sit and keep their eyes glued on the screen. The average American family doesn't have time for that. So that's in America, but I know it's world renowned. Everyone has time for it. Any major shift or new technology just takes some getting used to. But we better get used to this one because each day, our physical world merges more and more with our digital world. Things that we do in person, we will now do online. People are done going into the office. They're working from home. People are done going grocery shopping. They're getting it delivered. And people are even done going to the movie theater. They're streaming it from their TV. And those kids who are on their phones too much, well, they're now growing up, and they're now having kids who are going to be on their phones too much. The past year and a half, the pandemic, has only expedited our transition into the digital age. And what I would say is we got to see the good that social media could do throughout the pandemic. Now, there were things that inspired us, things that made us laugh. You got some good home workouts in. But beyond that, we were connected. We felt like a community in one of the loneliest times in our society. And that's why the argument I'd like to make for all of you, there's one thing I'd want to change your mind on. It's how you not only view, but how you use these social media platforms and to see the power and potential in brand building, in building a brand. Because it gives you the opportunity to own your own narrative, to become an active participant in change, or even just quit the job that you hate.
Here's a guy that's going to take us to another level when it comes to brands. You guys are already influencers.
Already an influencer. Thank you very much. I'm already a big time
Sheila,
influencer.
Sheila, you an influencer?
I'm sorry, I'm not.
Your daughter
is? I keep it pretty private. Yeah, my daughter is.
It's in the family.
A bajillion followers.
It's
but
in
I,
the family.
I, you know what? I need to up my game a little bit. You have 20,000 followers?
Yes, I do.
I have about
Faithful.
400 on Instagram. I haven't even posted since about last March. That's going to change as of today.
You got to do more
okay?
than once
a year. I know.
Bump
I'm good.
It up to once a month.
I do Facebook, but I only allow a small group of 1,200 people in.
Okay.
Some people may not consider that.
Wait, I'm not in the group. What happened?
Yeah, I don't have an invite either.
Well, that's why it's a small group.
Anyway, yeah. So,
but I'm going to change that starting today.
Well, we're excited to introduce you to Jordan Rooney. Coming up, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 21. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. We have Jordan Rooney, who's the founder and CEO of Jaster, also a brand coach, Duquesne University, talking about name, image, likeness in college sports. And we're also now joined by Paul Alexander, who I've known for a few decades now, Paul.
Wow.
Appreciate you taking time.
We're getting a little bit old?
Jordan, we were just talking about the fact that, you know, it's changed the landscape with this NIL situation in college. Paul, you brought up that high schools are next.
Absolutely.
That's unreal.
I mean, it is going to be the Wild West. Fortunately, and Jordan can speak to this far better than I can, but I know there's a couple young people here in the state of Pennsylvania that are being denied NIL opportunities because we have a restrictive law against it. You know how Pennsylvania is. We kind of suck in a lot of ways. So
you know,
that's one of the ways in which we do.
You know, in Pennsylvania, we will never have legalized gambling. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then they said, okay, we're just going to do slot machines to help the harness racing industry in the state.
Right.
And then it was a year in, they go, we can't compete with Mountaineers, so we got to get table games. And the next thing you know, here we are. Well, there'll never be legalized sports betting. That's another thing, Jordan, that's completely changed the landscape because there's so much money out there.
But the world didn't end. You know, they said it's going to be like the degenerate
with climate
thing.
Climate change is coming.
Nope, nothing.
Do you realize the city of Las Vegas was not able to do a come visit Vegas ad or promotion during an NFL game? What? The NFL strictly prohibited anything Vegas. Now they're in bed completely.
Next thing, they'll be bringing back cigarette commercials.
So Jordan Rooney represents the young generation. He's on the cutting edge of this whole process. And this is just really the first step into this world because there's going to be changes with the NIL and figuring it out. Once everybody figures out how the people that are unscrupulous are trying to figure it out, they can help their school win football games.
Well, yeah, I mean, and so speaking on the high school issue, I mean, we actually were a part of coordinating the first high school NIL deal in the nation. Two kids from the Bronx, two basketball players, are 15 years old. They're ranked number 4 and number 10 in the nation. And, like, they're going to be, like, New York City legends. They're sophomores. Wow. And so when you look at that, like, you know, they live in the Bronx. And, you know, everyone's making money off of them. And so we look at it from a societal impact, societal shift, where it's like you have a big Instagram presence. That's a business.
Right.
That's having a business right now. That's a brand. That's being your own media entity. When you look at it from a perspective, from a rules perspective, if you're a high school basketball player in PA and you start an app, okay, and that app can become super successful. There's kids 16, 17 years old who are doing those things.
Right.
If that kid says, hey, this is my app, that app can't make money, or he's considered ineligible by the PIA.
it makes no sense. That's where these rules, like, I get it. Like, you can always look at, like, you know, the lowest possible way that, like, the most negative consequence. But I view it as you're actually limiting young people from being able to start entrepreneurial ventures.
But how does it change the landscape, though, of high school sports? I mean, I just can't even fathom this. I'm just trying to picture what this would look like.
Yeah, I mean, the sacred nature of high school sports definitely could change. You know, there, you could see, you know, alums of Central Catholic doing NIL deals with certain players. But my argument to that is,
They already do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops. Is that out loud?
No, it's unfiltered.
Oh, we're unfiltered. Paul, go ahead.
Oops.
Lean in.
No, so one thing does is it forces transparency, because now you have to submit any deals that you get, any money that you do get. But I view it from the perspective of, like, what's the biggest problem here is that rich people are going to throw money at poor people. Like, mm-hmm. I don't view that as being a huge issue.
What is the argument? What is the downside? Because you're a high school player. We were saying that college players got 10% or less to get to the pros. Same with high school to get to college, about 10% of where to play college. So, okay, you're a high school kid. You get a chance to make some money and start your life. Or what's the negative? What's the bad side?
How is it different than, you know, child prodigies in music, acting, television, anything? At 12 years old, all of a sudden you can sing and dance better than anyone else. Guess what? You do it. You make a ton of money doing it. It's not restricted.
Jackie Evancho, right here in Pittsburgh.
You can go on and on.
Opera singer at 10.
We've had so many. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
So, where do you think it's going on the short term? Because I know a lot of coaches are scratching their head when, how are we dealing with this? How are our players dealing with this? Because it is affecting, especially in the bigger schools, the recruiting process.
Well, here's the thing. Like, when you look at, like, WVU has come out ahead of it quick. You know, they got the Country Roads Trust, Oliver Lux leading that, and a few others. You know, they got Pat McAfee involved. Pitt doesn't have one now. So, and it's perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong with doing this. And Penn State doesn't have one yet. So when you look at it, if you're a recruit in the area, WVU's saying, hey, we've put together this trust and we're going to help you to get NIL deals. If you're a young 17-year-old and you're looking at, okay, where do I want to go to college? Sure, the coaches matter. Sure, the playing time matters. But if a school's able to say, hey, when you're here, we have brands and companies that do NIL deals with you, that's life-changing money for you and your family. So it really is going to be a matter of, like, who wants to get out ahead of this? And it really puts more power and control with young people, because if you're not truly, like, empowering them, if you're not finding ways to, like, be for them, they're just not going to go to your school.
What is your background, Jordan, that you got so involved in this and took it to the first stage? And you were the first guy in the NCAA to have this brand coach deal.
So for me, building a brand essentially changed my life. I mean, I didn't know anyone that, like, had owned a business, ran a business, anything else. I just started making videos on Facebook about things I cared about 7 years ago and grew a big platform. And what happened was, is by me growing a platform, other businesses started reaching out to me saying, hey, can you help me? And I was able to start an agency. I have 12 employees now. And from there, what had happened was, is then athletes started reaching out and they started saying, hey, you know, can you help me with my branding? And one of the first ones is actually DeMar Hamlin from Pitt, who plays for the Bills now. So we rep him from a marketing perspective. And so we started working with athletes directly. And then when NIL came out, I'm like, all right, well, how's everyone looking at this? And every school said, if you look at it, every school did one thing. They said, we're going to have a tech platform. This tech platform is going to teach our athletes how to build their brands. No athletes are logging on to the tech platform. What I said is they need a model that they understand. They all have coaches. They have a strength coach. They have a receivers coach, a position coach, whatever. I said, why isn't there a personal brand coach? So I came up with the idea. Duquesne loved it. And I think just the uniqueness of it, it inflated my importance. Like, it was like, oh, wow, it's so new. He's the first one. But now you're seeing, I'm not going to say we started it, but we did kind of start it.
I think you did.
Well, you say that you started it.
No, go ahead,
it.
Take credit, because right. Anyone else would.
So what's it going to look like, though? So an athlete will come to you and say, hey, Jordan, I want to make a deal. Find me something.
So when you look at it, like, marketing representation is similar to talent representation. So for years, agents have been saying, hey, athlete, we'll get 3% of your contract, and we'll also get 20% of all of your marketing endorsements.
Okay.
This worked before social media, because how much could you really market an athlete? You know, you could get on the phone and answer a call, but now that social media is a thing, mm-hmm. we put a marketing engine around them. Like, DeMar played at Pitt.
Great guy.
He's great. Now he's with the Buffalo Bills. We created a Buffalo Wing review series where we went and did videos of him reviewing wing places in Buffalo. Well, Walden Farms reached out and they said, we want DeMar to be the face of our new Buffalo Ranch. So we made him more marketable, and DeMar's also very marketable himself. And then from there, that allows him to bring in more deals. So we focus on how you can take those elements of their personality off the field, off the court,
right,
to where brands are like, oh, wow, we want you to be a spokesperson for our brand. So that's essentially what we do.
Where'd you grow up, Jordan?
Newcastle.
That's
went to,
right.
You went to Union High School in Newcastle.
Newcastle is really famous for athletic, you know,
recruiting basketball players.
Well, and great food also.
This is long before Jordan.
And Chuck Tanner, for heaven's sake.
Chuck Tanner, right?
Yeah, you got a lot of, there's a lot of famous Newcastle people, right?
Absolutely. Great area.
Love Newcastle. So it's really fascinating because in our business, Jordan, the four of us, Paul Alexander, Sheila Hyland, Jim Krenn, and Jim's figured out probably more than any one of us, started his podcast. He has over 250 episodes of that. But building brands, we're being told, even though we're on terrestrial radio and traditional television, that we need to really expand our social media reach. So will you branch out beyond athletics? Will you be able to help people who have maybe a starter brand going and expand it?
So I have a regular creative agency. So some of our clients, we work with the Andy Warhol Museum. So we oversee their digital brand.
Everyone will be famous for 15 minutes.
Right, exactly. And I actually work with the Pittsburgh region brand as well. So we work with some bigger companies too.
And I say everyone will have a podcast. It's just that nobody can listen because they'll be doing their own podcast. So you got
to
hurry and
I'd like
get
to listen, but I'm doing my own right now.
Yeah, right. I'm busy doing my own. But that's great, though, that you're doing institutional branding as well. Would you do individuals?
I mean, I do a lot of like, hey, I'll jump on a call and like, you know, walk you through it. But
right. I think what Larry's saying is, will you help us, Jordan?
We'll pay you.
Comedians?
I wasn't going to pay him, but.
Oh.
No, what?
Oh.
This is a great question.
Does it work on commission? Does it work on commission or they got to pay you?
No. They got to pay. Yeah. I was saying, when I first getting started, yeah, I was willing to do it. But now, you know, I have a team of 12.
They got to feed
yeah,
the monster.
Yeah. I mean, and part of it too is like when you look at it, we actually just received an investment for our sports marketing agency, Jaster, from Mike Simon, who reps Travis Kelce.
Right. So he's the greatest.
Yeah. Mike's awesome.
He's pretty big.
Yeah. Mike's a great dude. And so Mike was a mentor of mine for the past year. And I was like, hey, Mike, I want to take this to the next level. So he personally invested.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah. So,
good for you.
So that allows us to take things to
you
the next level.
You mind me asking how old you are?
Me? I'm 32.
You're like prime time.
You think?
Man.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it's going to continue to grow for you. But where do you think social media is going? Because like we were talking about, there's a push for us to do more and more social media, but you want to make sure it's effective and has a, in our case, resonates to bring listeners or viewers. In your case, if you get big enough, when can you start making money off a brand on social media?
Yeah, I think that, you know, influencers give social media a bad name. Like I was speaking at conferences and workshops 6 years ago on social media. And the thing I still say it to this day, it's a tool just like anything else. Like music, there's bad music out there. There's good music.
Right.
There's bad TV. There's good TV. Social media in a lot of ways is the digital embodiment of who we are in real life, in our interactions. You know, people complain everyone's fake, but like, you know, I see someone I was in high school with and I'm like, hey, how's everything going? And they're like, everything's great. Well, they're lying. Same thing happens on social media. Right. Like everyone, you know, it's still the small talk game. So
how many followers does a person need to be considered an influencer or whatever?
So over 10,000. So under 10,000 is considered a micro influencer.
I'm an influencer.
So.
Oh,
Jimmy,
20,000.
Give me some.
No restrictions.
You have 20,000.
That's 20,000. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm an influencer.
I'm so happy to know you.
I didn't know this.
You're on the precipice.
I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you making money off your?
Oh no.
So this is
Jordan.
This is where this is
where Jordan.
And now a word from Jordan Rooney. We're all ears.
Yeah. So this is where I've used. This is like how I've used social media in a lot of ways. It's like, you don't need to get a million followers and say, hey, I'm going to sell ads on my platform. You can start things like a Patreon. You're seeing Instagram's doing subscriptions. You have Twitter's doing subscriptions. Like all you need is 1,000 people who are willing to pay $5 a month for what you do.
The good thing I didn't do when I started, I didn't realize you could do it till late. You could buy followers. And I didn't do this. And this girl that does our social media said, thank God you didn't do that. I would screw up.
It does, yeah.
I didn't do it. So it's all pure 20,000 people. But it's made me curious how many people, do a lot of people buy followers? Because you'll hear people that have no shows or any, how did you get 30,000 people?
Yeah, I mean, a lot too.
How did
well,
they do
you
it?
What? My daughter's an example too. She has 40,500 followers.
Wow. Well,
she may have, I don't know, she may have bought some of those. Yeah, she's a kid. She's
maybe,
younger.
You know.
But what she told me, though, is it's not really, yeah, she might have bought some of them. It's not how many followers you have. It's how many people are liking and commenting sure. on the content.
The activity,
is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it's how engaged they are. I mean, you know, you could have, you know, 100,000 people who know who you are, but how many really care about you?
They and don't so, engage. They're
yeah. I mean, there's influence. I mean, there's people who have millions of followers who try and sell shirts and they don't sell any shirts because mm-hmm. no one cares. You know, they're just following.
What's the percentage of people buy?
So, I mean, when
how
you look
how
at
real
it,
is it out there?
I mean, it, but it really just depends on like how engaged, like you look at the engagement rate is a big thing. Like here's yeah. how many followers you have. Well, here's how many likes and comments you get per those amount of followers. Mm-hmm. So the more engaged they are, the better. Like what I argue is like, it's better to have 5,000 people who love you than a million and not have any of them love you.
Right.
Like you're looking at people who want to have much smaller audiences and they're more connected. Cause right. like I said, like if you can get 1,000 people paying you $50 to $100 a month, that's much better than having a million and saying, hey, what's my next brand deal? Or, you know, I'm selling this water bottle, like whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Like you want an engaged audience. It is, it's a much more impactful right. way to use social media as well. I always say, look at the qualitative element of it. Like how many people are like, oh, I love this, rather than like, oh, cool, I got a like. Or, you know, mm-hmm. this person just like for athletes, they just got the fire emoji in their comment section. Like, does that really mean anything? Like, they didn't care about you.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Fascinating. We got to have you back.
It is.
Jordan's got to go talk about Super Bowl commercials on a national level. He's in demand. I see on your home screen, legacy over comfort. What
yeah.
do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I got to put myself out there a lot. That's part of I mean, you all get it. Like, you know, you yeah. put yourself out there to be judged. And I'm a big believer that, like, you know, I'd rather fear regret than anything else. Like, you know, everyone judges you. You know, there's a lot that you're going to be faced with in terms of adversity. But for me, like, I'd rather create a legacy that's going to be lasting. And people are like, okay, cool. I know this guy. I know what he did. And he left some sort of impact on me.
What's the best way for people to find out more about what you do?
Yeah, I mean, they could check out my Instagram. It's JORDONR. And if they want to look me up on LinkedIn, but no, like, cold message trying to sell me something on LinkedIn. I see that all the time. It's miserable, right?
Oh, we get it.
I don't know. Does it work for it? Like, I always wonder. I want to ask someone, like, has this ever worked? Like, this automated message that you've sent to me and hundreds of other people? Like,
no.
It's about relationships.
It sure is.
Meanwhile, Jordan Rooney, Newcastle's own, the first ever brand coach associated with the university in the NIL world, the CEO and founder of Jaster. Man, it's great to meet you. Fascinating. And we'd love to have you back sometime. Appreciate your time.
Love to be back.
Thanks,
you.
Jordan.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Paul Alexander. Thank you, brother.
My pleasure.
It's Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 21. More to come in a moment. Larry Richard, Unfiltered, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 21. So, guys, really cool to catch up with Jordan Rooney. I mean, this is a young guy. I
right?
feel like if he's not now, he's definitely going to be a young millionaire.
I think so. He's on it.
Yeah, he is on the cutting edge. Mm-hmm. He knows his stuff. Can you imagine where he's going to be in another 10 years and the following he'll have with all these athletes?
I hope he visits me in the home that I'm in.
Well, you're an influencer, Jim. You can't
I
go
hope
anywhere.
He donates to you.
To my home.
The home that you're in.
You're an influencer.
I am an influencer.
Sheila
right.
just got back from a trip to Florida. Where'd you go? What'd you do?
I did. I was in Boynton Beach, and I mostly hung out with the older people down there, which I have to say was a fabulous time.
Hey,
life's a little slower down there. Got a little bit of sun. Although you may not be able to tell.
You do got a little tan
pasty,
there.
I'm pasty white.
Yeah, you got a little tan going on.
Well, no, that's makeup.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, I tried. Yeah.
So you're not a sun person?
No.
What number you use? Block?
Oh, like 50.
What number are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm a 50. Yeah. What are you?
Is that a pickup
I do,
line?
I, yes. My number is I do a 25.
Oh, you're one of those. What?
Yes, one of those. What? I like a little color. I like a little color 20. Well, no, sometimes I'll go nuts. I will go nuts. I've done the four.
I got to tell
Whoa.
You.
Oh, okay. That's over the edge, buddy.
I've gone four. It's the way it goes.
That's almost.
I want to throw caution to the wind.
Illegal. I'm
I
sorry,
remember girls in high school would lube up. I mean, and they would
with put baby oil.
Tin foil, yeah. baby
oh, yeah.
oil and
baby
tin
oil.
Foil.
It was classic. I remember my aunt, when they grew up in the strip, and she had the foil and the whole deal. It was amazing, man. It's like, and she got nice. She got brown, toasty brown, like, you know.
She strip on the strip?
Yes. It was wonderful. And
so Sheila, you had a great time.
I had a fabulous time, and then I came back to Pittsburgh. And actually, it's what 55
today.
Today
it's nice
and rainy as we were recording this. Yeah, that's nice for Pittsburgh.
You guys are down there. It was probably like 10 degrees here, right?
It was really cold here.
So you did good.
We were down to single digits and feels like below zero. And then we had this little swing of spring. I call it the spring tease. And then back to winter. So if you're going to Florida, sand in your feet, sunshine in your face, that's just a good thing. You know,
it's awesome.
Hey, we drove by Mar-a-Lago.
Okay.
They wouldn't let us in, of course, but drove by the gates. Saw the palatial looking place. And then there's a sign that says, you know, watched by Social Security.
Okay.
So we decided we probably shouldn't
watched
get out and walk.
Watched by Social Security?
I'm sorry.
Well, she was with the old timers
down
there.
I didn't get much
sleep
last night. Secret Service.
Watched
one
by
of those
Social
SS.
Security. Down in Florida, that's probably
that's
true,
what I said.
Too.
It's with the old timers.
You're right.
Secret Service.
I used to live there. I lived in West Palm Beach and worked in radio there.
Oh,
that would be a great
why did you leave there?
Place.
No pay.
That's
when you're
just
a kid,
gorgeous
pay.
There.
They painted sunshine. You know that world, Jim.
Yes. But that'd be fun, though.
I worked at WIRK, the Spirit of the Palm Beaches. I had an afternoon show, and then I used to drive along where Mar-a-Lago is in the beach homes. Like John Lennon had a house there.
Yes,
on Palm
we
beach
saw
and,
his home.
You know,
Rod Stewart.
And realized I got nothing. So I left.
Yeah, you know what? It just you can't even fathom that people actually live like that.
No.
It just doesn't seem real.
So now you were on the right coast. Jim's going to the left coast, our comedy stand-up buddy, and you're going to the beach.
I'll be calling in and give me reports. San Luis Obispo, about 2.5 hours north of Los Angeles for the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival. Ooh. They put 40 comedians west. I go out to the West Coast every few months to stay with my buddy Mark Eddy, very funny comedian. We'll have him on. And Mark is so nice to me, and I stay with him, and he sets up shows. So I'm sort of known as a West Coast comic, even though I'm an East Coast as far as the national scene. So I'll head out there. We'll do 4 days of a festival, which is doing a bunch of different clubs every night and shaking hands and meeting people. It's just a lot of fun. It's really cool, and you'll see some Greg Hahn, some of the great comedians that are out there right now that, you know, you'll see on Comedy Central, HBO, Showtime, whatever.
That's
Netflix.
So cool, Jim, that you get to do that. Talk to Sheila and I.
I know. And you know what? And you
I'm
might
an influence
you
left.
Might up your Instagram.
I might get a couple
followers
more.
To,
Jordan
yeah, a couple
Rooney's
more.
Gonna make you even more famous.
You know what I do though? The reason I do it is because of the weather. And what'll happen is I'll go out there and I will call you every day, Larry, when it's 10 degrees here. See how you're doing. Now I'll know it's 10 degrees. I'm gonna look at my phone and it's gonna be like 12 degrees or something. I'll go, hey Larry, what's the weather? And I won't know it.
Yeah, rub it in.
And he'll say, how's it over there, Joe? Go, oh, 72 and sunny, Larry. So that's why you can't believe you didn't call us. It was 10 degrees. I would have called every day.
I'm so sorry.
That's why you go there.
I will text you pictures of my adventures, but I want to know, Larry, where did you go or where are you going?
Well, you know, I don't have any current plans till the end of March, but the plan is to go to Bradenton, Anna Marie Island, spring training.
That's always fun.
But will like, there be a spring training?
Yeah, that's
oh,
the
yeah.
question.
Work stoppage maybe, yeah.
But I'm going to find a way to go anyways.
That is a very, you know, that's a secret, that place. That is a lot of fun. I love that area. Bradenton area?
I get an idea.
It's awesome.
Why don't we do a podcast down there? We'll do a couple from there.
Are
you, even
are you
if
game?
There's no baseball?
I don't care.
Oh,
what's,
could,
no. It doesn't
you know what?
Matter.
We could play our own game.
Yeah,
all right.
Man, bring out the mats, gloves.
I am
100%
in. I love it. I love the beach. It's
all
fun.
Right, well,
I'm going to go down to number 2 for that one.
By the way, if you didn't hear, check out episode 20, the Donnie Iris surprise party.
Yeah.
At 23rd at Vine down there in Southside. It was really fun.
he was surprised.
Thank you guys for taking control of that because I was just on a little laptop computer like the old Charlie's
Angels.
How
are you feeling, by the way?
Great.
We didn't even ask you.
Well, it's Larry.
I'm so
COVID.
Sorry.
Larry's so in such great shape, man. He beat COVID like nothing. It's like nothing. Huh? Yeah.
I'm like
well,
a cyborg.
He had his Donnie Iris bush to look at.
That's
so
true.
He was all good.
That was hilarious.
It was great.
And we want to thank our producer, Dick Roberts, who does a phenomenal job helping us line up these podcasts each and every week. Safe travels to Jim Krenn, and we'll check in with you from the left coast.
I'll be calling in, guys. Yeah.
Sheila. Always appreciate you.
Larry, thank you.
Want to thank Jim Patulski, who is our engineer. He's so much more than that, but he helps keep us going. And He's the guy that's really responsible for this sound, which is really important in a podcast.
Kind of.
All right, guys. That's a wrap. Episode 21, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.